And now for reading and writing and radio.
The night after my uncle died, strange things happened. My mom went to the house that he and his wife lived in. There were only a few people in the house, and they were all in the kitchen. There was a music box that had been passed down from generation to generation. It hadn't played in 100 years. All of a sudden, it started playing. Nobody moved for a minute, and nobody dared to go see what was going on with the music box, but they did get it stopped. Then all the doors and windows were shut, and the air conditioner shut off. My uncle's hat was on the top of the refrigerator, and all of a sudden his hat lifted up and landed on the table. Nobody knows how it happened.
Those strange happenings were reported by Christy Beckham of Susie Pettyjohn's 5th grade Edinburgh. But have strange things happened to you?
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Last spring, I visited Mr. Ortman's 6th grade class at Ridgely School in Springfield, and the kids said, "How come we've never had ghost stories over reading and writing and radio?" Well, I thought about it, and we haven't. So today, we're having ghost stories. When I was a little kid, I had a favorite uncle. He was the favorite of all of us, and the reason he was the favorite is because he told us stories, ghost stories. Now, they were always the same ghost stories, but that didn't seem to bother us at all. Every time he came, we would rush up to him, crowd around him, climb into his lap, and he would tell us stories. Now, the ones that I remember are these. There was a haunted house, and there was this man, and everyone said that you couldn't stay overnight in this haunted house. But this man said that he could. And so he went up, and he went into the room, and he lay on the bed, and he started to stay overnight. And in the middle of the night, he heard a voice saying, "It floats." And he got scared. And the voice came a little closer, and it said, "It floats." And then he heard it coming up the stairs. And it got to the top of the stairs, and he was scareder and scareder. And at the top of the stairs, it said, "It floats." And then it knocked on the door. And the fellow was so scared, but he had to know, and so he yelled out, "What floats?" And the voice said, "Ivory soap." Well, the next one starts out in the same way. Here's this haunted house that everybody's afraid to sleep in because of the ghosts. And this man takes a bet, and he says he can sleep in this haunted house, and so he's up there in bed. But he takes a shotgun with him, and he holds the shotgun. I think it was supposed to be a witch that was in the house. He holds the shotgun, and he lies in the bed and waits. And after a while, he hears a door creak open. And then he hears the steps coming up the stairs. And he's getting scareder and scareder in his bed. Then he hears the door open. And he pulls his head out from the cover, and he looks, and there at the foot of the bed are 10 long, bony fingers. So he grabs up his shotgun and he goes, bang, 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 bang. And he shot off all his toes. Well, my uncle had more of those sorts of stories. There was one about somebody that was lost and came to an old house, and there were voices in the tower, and there was a body in a green slimy well, and there was money all over under rocks and mushrooms and things like that. And the voices turned out to be radio waves I don't remember that story too well, but I know that we used to love being scared to death by Uncle Will's stories. Then there was the radio. There were two radio programs that we listened to, and one was called The Shadow. And anybody my age can say to you, who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows. And another one was called Inner Sanctum, and that one started out with a creaking door opening up, and was on a Sunday afternoon, as I remember, and we would huddle on a bed on the porch up at the lake and tune in to the Inner Sanctum so that we could be scared by those ghost stories. Well, I've been doing research for my book, The Round Barn, for quite a long time, the farm that I grew up on, and I've been asking people stories. And old Mumu, Mildred Stamm, who's now dead, told me the story about old Bob, my father's dog. And here's what she told me about old Bob. She said he was quite old and that she would go for a walk and Bobby would go with her. And he'd whimper and he'd sit down and he'd try to go with me, she said, and one day he just sat down and cried. And I said to him, Bobby, you don't have to always go with me when I take a walk. Why don't you just go lie down in the shade? So he got up and he went and laid down in the shade and he cried a little and he seemed so thankful that I'd excused him from my walk. Well, a few days later, Mumu went on, one of the hired men brought in a young dog, a foolish young dog that nobody liked very well, but he adopted your grandparents. Well, old Bobby was in the office, and the hired man came in with his dog, and somebody said, where'd you get that dog? And they talked about it a bit, and then the same person looked at poor, miserable old Bobby and said, well, what are you going to do with Bobby here? And the hired man said, well, we're just going to have to shoot him. And at that, said Mumu, poor Bobby hobbled up and looked such a look, such an expression. He walked to the door, asked to be let out, and my grandmother said, I believe that dog knew what you said. And the hired man said, fiddlesticks. Well then, reports Mumu, it was a busy time and nobody paid much attention for a day or two, until my grandmother said, where's Bobby? I haven't seen him. And nobody could find the dog. And a few days later, the carpenters came to tear down the old French porch and the bay windows, and when they started tearing it down, they came to Bobby, and he was dead. He had crawled under the porch and died. Well, that was the part of the story that came from Mumu. And then later on, I heard more about old Bob from a different person who had been on the farm at that time. And he said to me, he said, do you believe that dogs can see ghosts? And I said, I don't know, can dogs see ghosts? And he said, well, when I was there at your farm, he said they got a nice young white collie dog. And they let him in the house one night, and he was up in the very front of the living room. And that dog came there, and he stopped short of a certain spot. He kind of crouched down, and he barked, and he snarled, and he went all around the spot, and he kept turning back toward it and carrying on, and we didn't know what in the world was the matter with that dog. We thought maybe he heard something downstairs, so we went downstairs to the basement, and there wasn't anything there, no rat, no nothing on the ceiling up above, and we finally decided, your dad did, that your grandpa used to have his desk right there, and that years ago they'd had an old dog named Bob, and that dog had been dead for years, but that dog used to lay in that spot right there. Well, I know that your family weren't dirty, that they didn't have a dirty dog, a dirty house like a dog kennel and never cleaned it up, and your grandma said that the rug had been changed. But you know, that dog sensed something in that place, and that dog never walked over at that spot. He'd scout around it. Now, what do you make of that? Don't you think that that was the ghost of old Bob? So there are two stories that tied together with the ghost of old Bob. Now, on my mother's side, I've always heard the story about the dream that her mother had. She dreamt that she was going out of a back door across a lawn, and she opened a gate and she found herself in a cemetery, and she saw a big stone in the cemetery that said Thorpe on it. And she went on and she came to a grave, and inside the grave women were standing and they were patting the sides of the grave, and at that point she woke up. Well, she found this a very strange dream, and so she told it to several different people. Well, it wasn't a week or so later that her mother-in-law died, and they went to the place where she was going to be buried, and Nona found herself coming out of a door, going across a lawn into a cemetery, and she saw the big stone that said Thorpe on it. And she was startled because at that point she recognized her dream, and so she went on and looked waiting to see if these women were going to be in the hole and what they were doing in it. And sure enough, here was the grave of her mother-in-law, and there were women standing down in the grave, and they were lining the sides of it with bright-colored autumn leaves. They were making it a beautiful spot in which to lower the casket. There was clairvoyance, having something happen to you that predicts to you what's going to be in the future. This happened again in my mother's family, another story that we've heard. Aunt Esther died in March. Now, my mother's home was in Chicago, and Aunt Esther was over in Michigan, and a couple of Aunt Esther's sons were visiting at my mother's house. My mother was a little girl. And they were sitting in the back parlor. There were two parlors that were connected by folding doors, those kind that you pull out from the wall in an old house. And they were all sitting in the back parlor, and they heard three knocks on the double doors between the front parlor and the back parlor. And the first time they pulled open the doors and nobody was there. And they were surprised and looked at each other, and they went on with what they were doing. A few minutes later, this time they opened the doors very rapidly and nobody was there. And somebody said, "That happens in our family. Three knocks means that somebody is dead." And sure enough, the word came from across the lake that Aunt Esther had died. Well, I've written a book called The Ghost Boat, and that's based on a local superstition up at a lake that we went to in the summertime, that there was a fisherman who was drowned in a lake nearby. He was drowned in Lauderdale Lake, and they didn't find his body in Lauderdale Lake, but a couple of weeks later, they found his body floating in our lake. And this made everybody think that there must be a secret passage or a hidden tunnel between the two lakes for the fishermen to come up in our lake. Well, this story probably wasn't true. It was probably just a superstition, but it terrified all of us kids. One summer we found an old waterlogged boat, and we pushed it around the lake some and had some fun with it, and then we decided that we'd sink it. And so we carried it out into the middle of the lake, filled it up with rocks, down went the boat, we watched it go, and then the next thing we knew, here it was coming up again. Well, that terrified all of us, and we thought that this was a really ghostly, eerie thing to happen. And that was what I based the book on. Well, there are lots of ghost stories in the book, as well as the major ghost story. One of my favorites is about where Marcy goes to swim with the water bugs, and she becomes as little as a water bug, and she's swimming with the water bug colonies, and she's asking all about things in the water bug colonies, and nobody is able to tell her anything very much. She finally gets bored with it and decides she wants to go back to the dock where she will grow big again, but she wants a water bug to go with her because no fish will eat her if she's got a water bug with her. So she finally manages to get a water bug. Oh, she asks them to go with her, and every time she asks them, they'll say, "The pier? Oh, the ghosts," and streak away. So she tried it on the next water bug, and the same thing happened. He shrieked, "Oh, the ghosts," and streaked away. And water bug after water bug got all hysterical and shrieked, "Oh, the ghosts," until finally the whole air was filled with wild squeaking and shrieking, and the water was filled with spinning water bugs. Well, she finally gets a water bug to take her back to the dock, or almost to the dock, and just as they get almost up to it, why, the water bug shrieks out, "There they are, on the posts, the ghosts, they're white and on the posts." And he went round and round like mad and spun off toward the water bug colony. Then the little girl saw the ghosts, and they were big and white and awful shaped and like monsters squatting on the posts, and she was terribly scared herself until she began to grow and grow and got her regular size again. And then she looked at the ghosts, and she realized what the water bugs were afraid of were those empty, dried, sort of white, tannish husks of those bugs, you know, in the shape of their bodies, and they live in the water a while and then climb up out of the water onto dock posts or something. You know, you've seen them. You see, Marcy is telling the story here. "I think they're dragonfly nymphs," said Janice. "Well, the nymphs climb up and then go out of their skins and become dragonflies and leave their husks behind, just in their own shapes sitting there above the water. So the little girl thought if she ever got water bug size again, she'd go tell them that they didn't have to be afraid, but that it probably wouldn't do any good, and that's the end." And after Marcy finishes telling her story, why, then the kids out there on the porch telling ghosts ghost stories wonder if everything has their ghosts. And at the end, the little brother, Thad, says, I wonder if even ghosts have their ghosts. Well, the point of my whole story is that ghosts are real, because if something affects you, if something makes you afraid and makes your behavior change, why then that thing has real power in the real world. And so it's a ghost that is real. And here is the way that it's talked about in my last chapter. Janice was still trying to explain everything. But what was the use? Marcy knew there weren't such things as ghosts. She knew that Betsy knew it and Kenny knew it. They all knew it in their heads. But their bones didn't believe their heads anymore. That was the trouble. And of course it was worst for Thad, because his head had been pretty much believing right along. Janice was trying to make their bones believe their heads. Well, they go over and over everything that's happened and explain it all away, but people are still upset about it, and they decide they've got to destroy the boat, that the only way to get rid of the ghost of the old fisherman is to get rid of his boat. And they give all sorts of ideas. I know, cried Kenny. Why didn't we think of it before? Let's just chop it up in little pieces. Let's massacre it. No, howled Thad. Why not? Said Janice, exasperated. Then there'd be nothing left but a million splinters. It couldn't be a boat anymore. Yes, it could. Every splinter could float, and how do you know there wouldn't be a ghost for every splinter? We'd have a million ghosts. There aren't such things as ghosts, shrieked Janice. Not even one ghost. How do you know so much about ghosts, Smarty? Betsy demanded. Our ghost might come back after the boat was all chopped up and say to us in the night, give me back my boat, give me back my boat, like the ghost that said, give me back my golden arm, said Marcy. And if the boat was all chopped up, we couldn't. Well, said Janice, figure out your own schemes then. I'm trying to help, to keep Thad from having any more nightmares and to keep Mother and Daddy from being furious at you guys for scaring him so terribly. But if all of you are believing in ghosts too, I might as well give up. I won't stay here with a bunch of stupid, superstitious babies who believe everything they think up. She marched off down the hill. And anyway, she flung back over her shoulder, it's mostly Thad's ghost. He's got the one that's been haunted, mainly. So he's the one that's got to lay the ghost. If we do it for him, it won't be any good. He's got to figure out what will get rid of the ghost for himself. Huh, said Marcy. First she says she doesn't believe in ghosts, and then she says Thad has to get rid of it by himself. Janice's bones must not believe her head either. Well, then they discuss why Thad is the one that should get rid of it, and it's that everybody has to get rid of their own ghosts. They have to shake hands with it. Then Thad comes up with the idea that as long as they just thought it up, why don't they just unthink it? Maybe, said Marcy slowly, maybe it's because once you've thought something up, it's here. It's real. You can't get rid of it by just unthinking it. That's why you have to step up to it and shake hands with it. Then Janice is wrong about ghosts, said Thad. Maybe that's why she went away mad. When people know they're wrong, it makes them mad. Kenny snorted. That's just what we've been doing, thinking it on, worse and worse. Well, then, you have to turn a corner, said Betsy, and think it on in another direction. They sat silent once more, staring off into the cornfield. Finally, Thad climbed off the stump. I'd better go think about it, he sighed. Let's see. Since I can't unthink the ghost, I have to think him on, but around a corner. Think him down. And I have to think out how to shake hands with him, too, when I meet him. That's an awful lot of thinking. I better go off by myself and get busy thinking right away. Don't forget, once you decide, you have to let us help, Betsy said, because he's not just your ghost. I mean, he sort of scares us now, too. Sure, said Thad. He gave a wan smile to his sisters and Kenny and trudged off in the direction of Kenny's garage. At the edge of the building, he paused. You know what? He called. What? Replied Betsy. Thinks sure have power, Thad said, and disappeared. Today, share with us your ghost stories. Don't tell us the golden arm one, we know that one. But tell the one where your uncle's hat blew off the refrigerator with no wind, or how old Bob's ghost kept other dogs from that spot on the rug. Tell us your stories of ESP and clairvoyance, of the weird, the strange, the unexplained, the supernatural. And if you've had a ghost yourself, tell us that. What scared you about it? Have you been able to get rid of it? Or does it still have haunting power over you?
Hi,
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.